Hey, Podfathers listeners, you can find us every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Hey guys, it's Big Cat, and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern. For the first time since Rough and Rowdy 1, every single fight will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dad, I'm hungry. Hi, hungry. I'm Daddy.
What do you think, I'm made of money? Money doesn't even grow on trees. When you pay the rent, you can make the rules.
Remember, don't make her peas your peas.
Have you heard about the new restaurant on Mars? The food's great, but it's got no atmosphere.
Hey, come here. Pull my finger.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Podfathers, the best parenting podcast in the universe. It's Pod Clem here. We got Large and Dirty Jersey. We got Chaps down in Texas. Nikki the Good in the city. Joey Langone on Strong Island. And we are back for another week. This comes out on Wednesdays usually. So it's a couple days after, but we got through a fucking doozy of a back-to-back for, I think, you know, parents, dads, husbands, boyfriends, whatever you want to call it, wives, girlfriends. Super Bowl followed by Valentine's Day is a fucking doozy of a 48-hour run. And with kids too, fucking shit. I wanted to pose this question to you guys. Which of those two American holidays, because Super Bowl is basically an American holiday, Valentine's Day isn't, gets ruined more by kids? Because Super Bowl, I just had kids running around, going crazy. I couldn't focus on the game, the commercials, the halftime show, all that shit. And then Valentine's Day, it's hard to, you know, be in a lovey-dovey mood when you're ordering chicken fingers at the restaurant. You're cleaning up after them. That just may be me dealing in little kid hell right now. But I'm going through it right now, as usual, folks. Also, I wanted to shout out everyone in the Pod fam that has purchased Girl Scout cookies from Sienna. The link went live, I think, like 5 days ago, give or take, and we've already sold 1,400 boxes, and I think last year's goal was 2,300, which blew my mind that we could sell that many Girl Scout cookies, and I mean, after a week, 1,400 is crazy. We have trip to Legoland is the next thing on the list, and the grand prize last year, it was like an electric scooter, and I think AirPods. This year, it's an Oculus. So if we sell the most cookies in the region, your boy Clem gets an Oculus. So if anyone wants to buy Girl Scout cookies and doesn't know a Girl Scout themselves, go to my Twitter, The Clem Report, twitter.com/TheClemReport. It is the pinned tweet. Load up on some Girl Scout cookies, $5 a box. Tons of great options, obviously, and you're helping out the Girl Scouts who get like a portion of Sienna sales to the troop. So shout out everyone who's already bought. Awesome, awesome, awesome. So you guys take it away.
That was Japs. That was just defeatist right there. Like straight from the jump, Clem starts to show wanting to be in a bad mood. Which one is worse? How about they're both good still? They're both fine. I had a lovely time with both. You sad sack of shit.
God damn it.
We went to McMurphy's last night. We had the French onion soup and the fried chicken. It was lovely.
Is that the place that you took me? I saw Annie's picture. Is that where we went for like beef sandwiches?
No. We
they have aesthetic.
No. Yeah. They the place we went for beef sandwiches was Brennan and Carr. That was a Brooklyn place. Nikki the Good's gonna go nuts about Brennan and Carr. No, this place is up in Ridgewood. This place actually is one of Carl's favorite spots for French onion soup. Just but he had, I think he was an accountant of some sort before he started at Barstool. So
he was doing explaining your fucking finances to Carl.
So he was like, he was stationed somewhere up in northern New Jersey for a while on some sort of job, and somebody took him there. That's how we started talking about French onion soups. Carl wrote a blog when I did French onion soup last year. I had sent him, this is where it all began. And I just sent him the picture and he wrote another 1,000 words on it. So now I don't want to keep I won't send him another French onion soup picture.
No, I think you got to. You got to keep it going.
No, yeah. But you have to pick your spots. Like the next one I do, I will order French onion soup, you know, in France and send it to him so he could really go nuts. I wasn't expecting another excellent blog, by the way. It's just a fantastic blog about, you know, it's no longer chocolates, it's French onion soup. So check that out on the main page from our man Carl, and everyone's favorite Carl in Chicago. He's just an extraordinary writer and a good person.
Imagine being like, whatever happened to our accountant, honey? That, you know, he was a really nice guy, personable. It's like, oh no, he writes under the name Carl now and reviews French onion soup for Barstool Sports. What a fucking world we live in. I love Carl. I love that son of a bitch. Wow. So all right, I have to pump the brakes on this. I had a lovely time with my wife during the Super Bowl on Valentine's Day. It was the kids that obviously had me going crazy. We walked into the restaurant, nice new restaurant in the area, first time going, and once I saw the white tablecloths, I was like, oh shit, this would be a problem.
AJ Applebee's does it right on Valentine's Day, folks. They just fucking do.
AJ beelined right to our table and picked up all four water glasses and then picked up all four knives. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And I was immediately from like a zero stress of being like, this is a nice Valentine's Day with the kids, the wife, to just a 10 right off the jump. So I was freaking out. And I am projecting my anxieties on you guys. So I do apologize to the listeners. I came in hot to start the episode. The computer is not working. I'm on my backup computer right now. Look at this backup computer. Move me up the poor rankings a little bit, huh? Do you guys have backup computers?
Really nice resolution you got there on your 540p fucking webcam.
Fuck old business Pete. This is an old business Pete production right here. Not me.
Typing through Windows Vista.
Yeah. Is that a Nokia?
From Andrew Luck. Things went fine here. Like, we had a great time. I know it's been a couple days since the Super Bowl, but the halftime show was unbelievable. Like, when it was over, I looked at my wife. I was like, that's what our parents felt like when the Rolling Stones did the Super Bowl halftime. It was that good. Like, even in the moment, I was turning it up and we were getting going, and I was very surprised at some of the song selections. I thought that there'd be some different picks there, but overall, very good. I enjoyed a Super Bowl. And then Valentine's Day, if it happens on a Monday, doesn't count. Like, it just doesn't count. And people are saying it's because it's after the Super Bowl, but I feel like it just doesn't count. And I don't get up for Valentine's Day anymore. I used to love Valentine's Day. It was one of my favorite holidays. Now I just don't care about it.
Did you like rock red? Would you like put red on for Valentine's Day to let people know you know what day the calendar is?
Like an orange beard, I'd look like an idiot.
That's fair point.
That is terrible in red.
The halftime show was one of those moments where I really felt my age, because like, it's not like obviously the weekend was last year, right? So it's not like this is like the youngest it's been, but like these guys being kind of like old timers coming out during halftime and being like, man, remember those songs, honey, that we used to like dance to in the bar and stuff like that. And we were like, I was trying to explain to the kids, like all the different people as they came up on stage. My first CD was The Chronic by Dr. Dre. And we told Sienna that Eminem was coming out, and she thought that a giant Eminem, I guess what, like the yellow or the red guy, were going to pop out. And she was so disappointed that it was just some bearded dude from Detroit. That was just, you know, a little hate monger back in the early 2000s. So a complete change of pace for them. 50 looking thick too. 50 bringing it for the big boys. I kind of like to see 50. He was so cut back in the day.
But I heard that it was bad shellfish. It was just a little swollen. He just feeling a little puffy.
A lot of people killing 50 on social media, and you take a look at their avatars on how they looked, you know, just between their avatars and how they are now. You ever get one of those? Like, all of a sudden, you can only see people from their profile picture.
Oh.
And you see, whoa! Like, you
there's
know what I mean?
One that's in NFL, like, circles. Clem, you Aaron Wilson? Do you know him? Yep. He used to be, like, Ravens insider. that dude had the same avatar for years, had to have it for like 10 years. And he was, he looked like he was 35 years old, still had dark brown hair. And then he pops up on like NFL Network one day. It's like Aaron Wilson covering the Texans, and it shows him. And I'm like, good God, this dude's like fucking 7 years old. Like he catfished by like 30 years. It was unbelievable.
I guess there's something to be said for continuity and familiarity as far as changing your profile picture. But I've had the same thing where all of a sudden, you know, like, I don't know, Anthony Hardaway showed up and I was like, yikes, Penny, what happened? but I thought, I was into it. And Mick had hit me. He was at his girlfriend's house. He's like, Dad, did you like that halftime show? He hit me on a text. And I said, yeah, I did. And he was like, really? And I said, I was like, why did you say really? Did you not like it, you little fucking punk? You know what I mean? He's like, no, I was just wondering what your feelings were on. Like, I was ready to go to mattresses.
Who you wanted to be, Mick? You wanted to be the fucking Island Boys?
Yeah. No, he was just like, I guess he wanted me to expound. So he just gave me that RLLY, you know, that little fucking shorthand. Why would you write out really? So it was good. I enjoyed it. I still don't know who Kendrick Lamar is, but. Otherwise, I think that
they should have played Swimming Pools for that one. If they would have made some other song choices with that crew, it could have been otherworldly. And also, I know I shouldn't say this, you got to get Mary J. Blige out of here. Like, just completely switched up the vibe. I mean, if you want to have an R&B show one day, that's fine. Mm. But in that moment, we can't go there. You might as well just brought out Garth Brooks for a different set. Like, it was just so drastically different.
I like Mary J. Come on. She's the fucking queen. I think you could have done without Kendrick, though, right? I mean, it seemed like out of that crew, obviously, he didn't fit in. And I was kind of counting on Ice Cube because I'd seen him the week prior at the Coliseum. I was kind of counting on him jumping out. So I don't know, like, it was a little bit bittersweet, but all in all, it was fun to watch.
I was hoping we were going to get the Tupac hologram. There were rumors of that. Yeah. And then once Dr. Dre started playing I Am Manichae on the piano, which, by the way, Dr. Dre, not a surprise that he could just pick up, you know, tickle the ivories like nobody's business. He's like a musical savant. But I was hoping we were going to get a Tupac hologram. Like, again, I think Kendrick Lamar was so then just not the three olds on this podcast right now. Like, a little bit of it touched the younger audience. So, like, oh, yeah, Dre was cool back in the day. That's the old school. Kendrick Lamar at least kind of bridges it to the newer generation. Did you also see this? I don't know if this was legit or it was like a troll or something like that, but the NFL YouTube, when it had The Rock's introduction, it said the guy from Fortnite instead of The Rock, like, introduces the Super Bowl. And I got triggered by that very, very much so.
I heard that it was because they were having so many issues with the that Phoenix Open that was going on too. Like, not the Phoenix Open, but what was it called? The WM
Waste Management.
Yeah, the Waste Management. They had that, and because it went to a three-hole playoff, they had so much difficulty figuring out when to actually throw it to The Rock because it threw off their entire plan by having that playoff, and they were running out of time to do everything they wanted to do.
I'm saying, though, that the fact that The Rock is being called the guy from Fortnite in a title, it's The Rock first and foremost. It's
the linebacker from the Hurricanes.
The guy wearing the fanny pack, right? That's the next thing on the line. And then, like, the Mummy, like, The Rock has had, like, critical success, like, not critical success, probably financial success in the movie theaters, at least that, but he's not even in Fortnite yet. So, again, very triggering.
Like, you think the NFL was upset at The Rock wading into the Joe Rogan drama of the last couple of weeks?
They probably didn't like that. I mean, obviously we have the M&M stuff.
Do you know they want to be controversy free?
Yes, exactly. They want to have the Super Bowl go off with as little hitches as possible, which is ironic considering, like, every story that's come out about the NFL the last 2 weeks has been an absolute, like, horror show for any league, right? Between the Flores stuff, the Daniel Snyder stuff, Adrian Peterson stuff. So it just keeps coming for the NFL, I swear. But the halftime show, I think that was a good thing for us olds right there. We kind of got to sit back, relax, and I'm fine with the halftime show for the next 10 years.
Sets it up for the next few years, though, Clemmy, because if the way people responded to it, I feel like we're about to be in the sweet spot for our Super Bowl watching. Like, our age group is about to be in the prime. This is our groups that gets to see it. And we're like, oh, they're finally using some new people. It's like, no, it's just Adam Levine's been around for a while.
I'm trying to think of like who from the 90s we could get next. Like, what's the next 90s group?
Backstreet Boys and NSYNC would set the world on fire if they had those.
Can they bring Timberlake back? I mean,
like, yeah, Timberlake comes back, Britney's back, bitch, and Christina Aguilera. You have that whole squad go out there for like a year 2002 Super Bowl. People would go insane.
Does Timberlake need to wear like a straight jacket though, so he doesn't rip any more titties out? Because like, I feel like the NFL you're talking about doesn't want a controversy.
I feel that like Britney leans into it and lets Justin just suck on them things right there in front of God and everybody.
Yeah, from God also.
That yeah came from your soul, Large. That came from the bottom of your soul. You've been dreaming of this. This isn't the first time you thought about that happening on a stage.
I got back from California and I tweeted something about how I was surprised. I was in Musso and Frank's, an old school steakhouse. They had an oil painting of all the famous celebrities from Hollywood that go to Musso and Frank. So like in the oil painting, it's like Frank Sinatra, you know, you can tell who they are. It's like Orson Welles is there. You saw like some newer guys like George Clooney and stuff, but it was mainly, and then in one of the booths in Musso and Frank's, they had the oil painting, the members of the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Apparently they used to go there too. It's the oldest restaurant in Hollywood. I thought that they didn't kind of fit in because they were the only people who painted without their shirts on. Like, you know what I mean? Like they really did a good job. And I said, they're probably the most, I don't know, iconic California band that I could think of. I got dragged. I got fucking dragged. How can you say the Red Hot Chili Peppers are the most California band when there's, you know, the Eagles and the Grateful Dead and the Beach Boys and stuff. So I put up a poll today and I think like 4,000 people voted on it. And number one with a bullet, 62% is Red Hot Chili Peppers. And then some guy says to me, comes at me on my timeline, didn't come at me, I'll say he came at me, but didn't come at me. He said, well, don't you think it's because your followers are so young, that's why they're into the Chili Peppers? Chili Peppers have been making fucking music for 40 years. It'll be 40 years next year. That's not a young take,
right?
There is no, you know, there is no young take. Maybe Blink 182 is a young take for that.
If Chili Casey Peppers Kasem was saying what your hits were back in the day, you're not a young band.
Yeah. So I don't even know anymore what, like, because I'd love to see the Foo Fighters. I just saw them live last year. Foo Fighters. I'd love to see them bang out a Super Bowl. I think they would do fantastic. But then what does that appeal to? Is that, again, catering to the 40 plus, or is it the 25 to 35? Like, I don't know. Because he was, you know.
I would be, if they came out and said the Chili Peppers or Foo Fighters, I would be very disappointed in that Super Bowl.
Would you? Oh,
yeah.
I mean, sign me up. That would be a dream for me.
Oh,
wow. Throwing it out for the dream. Wait, Chili Peppers were, they came out with Bruno back in the day. Bruno was the headliner, of course, my guy. And the Chili Peppers, we don't talk about Bruno. No. By the way, has anyone saw for their take on Encanto since last week? Because I'm telling you, I'm just growing to love this movie and the soundtrack more and more.
I fucking, no, it's rebuking.
Where did I end up? Am I out or in?
You're out.
You're out. You're out.
Back in, and then you pulled back out again.
Yeah, I'm out. Yeah.
Goddamn fucking Encanto.
Well, this is the way you have to watch Encanto. You guys aren't watching it. What you have to do is sit on the couch. Chaps, what do you have? The mega couch? Is that what it's called?
Oh, yeah, mega couch. Yeah.
You get on mega couch. Large, you get a nice little blanket and a, you know, bottle of Red out, you fancy fucking asshole. And then
alcoholic.
You also, Chapsy, you got to get yourself some 3-Chi. You get yourself a Chapsy goes with the gummies. Large will go with his brownies. I'll
get
go with the
flavorless
drink
additives. Throw that into some hot tea, some sleepy time tea.
I reviewed the grape, the purple Kool-Aid, reviewed that the other day. So you can throw that in, you throw a little THC in that and you get yourself feeling good. You can throw it in coffee, teas and juices, your Delta 8 THC drink mixes from 3-Chi. It kind of has the whole catalog and that's the newest thing. And you can also, if you just mix it with water, you get your tangerine lime or pink lemonade flavors. And you get in the right frame of mind, feeling good, nice little warm feeling in your belly. Do not put it with the alcoholic beverages, Large. This is, we've told you this many times. You've been good so far. Must be 21 to purchase.
They don't recommend.
Don't recommend. Yes, that's a good way to put it, Chaps. Do not recommend. It's just CBD.
I recommend.
This is not CBD. Yeah, Large recommends. This is not CBD. It is psychoactive. We'll give you above. So visit 3chi.com. That's the number 3chi.com and use promo code code POD to take 5% off your purchase. Get your shipment in of 3 chi. It's about to, you get those, like, we had a little spring run here in, it was like 50 degrees, but you kind of got the feelings of spring in your belly. So get it, you know, kind of feel good with the 3 chi and kind of bring it all together. Thanks to our friends at 3 chi. Large, you had a little bit of a mishap. Was it on Valentine's Day?
Yes. Yeah, it was on Valentine's Day. I would tell you right now, there is no bigger proponent at Barstool Sports for the Whitman sampler than me. Right. I mean, and that's easy. Like, you can get, who's really the Nick guy? Anybody?
Somebody asked me that the other day. I was like in the airport and they're like, stop me. Like, hey, chaps, good to see you. Quick question. Who's the Whitman sampler guy at Barstool? And I was like, oh, easy. Large.
Definitively. Yeah, there is no question. So
it took me 2 seconds to answer. It was incredible.
So I always have that thing on me. So I give them out for Valentine's Day. And so one of the greatest things that I get to do every Valentine's Day is, as people are opening up their things, I casually open the Whitman sampler and we enjoy it. And believe me, I go to the same CVS that you guys go. Yeah. I see Lint right next to it. I see Godiva on the other side of it. Those are two asshole brands that this asshole would normally go for. I don't. I stay with Whitman's, which was bought by Russell Stover, which was bought by Lint. So it's all one. But, you know, they got a real monopoly on that whole goddamn thing.
They really
but
do.
I That's stay, a monopoly. Holy shit.
Yeah, yeah. So I stay with Whitman's. Old school. And so yesterday, and the Whitman sampler has, I think, nine flavors. When you get the 10 ounce, it's nine flavors. 11.
I believe it's 11.
All depends on how many ounces you go, chaps. I don't go big with them. So from the bottom, the dark chocolate orange cream, nope. The dark chocolate vanilla cream, dark chocolate nut fudge, the solid dark chocolate messenger, okay. The chocolate covered peanuts, okay. I know this is going to be something. Coconut cream is me. I know you guys don't, but you know.
Oh, I love coconut.
Same here. Coconut takes a lot of heat unjustly. Unjustly.
Good. Then after that, dark chocolate caramel, dark chocolate nut caramel. And at the top of the food chain, without a shadow of a doubt, is the dark chocolate cashew cluster. It's the only one that comes in the paper, almost like the mini
turtle.
Yes. It's the closest thing to a turtle, dark chocolate. It comes in the cupcake paper. Like, you know, it's the only one that does it.
That's the bell of the ball.
We cut open the thing. I cut open the thing with a switchblade. I open it up. I see that familiar map on the bottom of the, on the inside of the box. Then they have that first piece of decorative cardboard that you then take off. And that corner where I'm going, my first fucking right to that corner, it's missing. It's missing. And so I said, holy shit, it must have shifted. And it didn't shift into any of the other compartments. And then I lifted it up to the second.
It's fine. It's fine. It's just shifted.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't worry.
I said, what the fuck? And he's like, maybe it shifted. Don't get crazy. I'm like, don't tell me not to get crazy.
Everyone, calm down.
She's like, check the second level. I'm like, how could it be in the second level? I go down to second level. It's not that. So it winds up, something went wrong in the factory.
Wait, did the second level have one as well? Or was the
it had one. The second level had one. Okay.
Okay.
Don't defend them. But oh, yeah, if this was a conspiracy, believe
imagine
me.
Two levels, no turtles. Okay.
What do I do? I'm powerless now. I went and I ate the second level.
They're not
going to believe
you at CVS.
Yeah.
Get a turtle. They're like, nice try, pal.
Yeah.
I never go to the second level until I get down to those last vanilla cream orange creams. We throw those away. Then we go second level. I jumped ahead. I went second level right away. So then I had nothing to look forward to on the second level. It fucked me hard on Valentine's Day. And I don't want anything for free. I mean, I do. But all I want them to do is give me a caramel nut cluster. Cashew cluster.
They owe it to you, honestly.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's in your court. Whitman, which was bought by Russell Stover, which was bought by fucking Lint. By the way, Lint has an annoying double name, like Lint Trungili or something like that. You have 48 hours to respond. You fucked me and you ruined my Valentine's Day. So that's it. That's what happened to me. And you know, again, undoubtedly biggest proponent, I will jump off that. I'll go somewhere else. Fuck.
And then in addition to that, so Whitman bought by Russell Stover, bought by Lint. The clock has been set as of the release of this podcast, not of the release of the tweet, which Large says he's powerless. No, he can go on social media and get his thousands upon thousands of horde of followers to slander them. If Large is looking for a new chocolate
place.
He doesn't
want to do that, Clem.
He doesn't want to. I don't want him to do it either. I like having Large being the Whitman sampler guy because it fits into his oldest person on the podcast thing because that fucking box 100%. Is such an old person box. Oh, really? However, if he jumps off that, other people listening that work for chocolate companies, get ready to hop on that fucking Large D-I-C-K and hop on
Hello,
the Podfathers.
Cadbury.
Yeah, we're looking Hello? At you, Cadbury. The little, I see you. I hear you little bunny balking in the fucking background. Fucking away.
Oh, you, little buddy foo-foo head ass.
So that hurts, Large. I mean, that would be like Stu Leonard's, you know, like just not selling me stuff. You know, like I got pictures in the blanket there the other day.
It's my number one. Yeah. You guys agree that the cashew cluster is the number one?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you on the fence?
I would say
in the Whitman sampler. Oh, it's not even close.
Thank you, Chaps.
I mean, if I go somewhere and I get a soft serve ice cream and they offer to throw in some of those bad boys, we got ourselves ones? A shake. Huh? Yeah.
I'll give you guys a take. Cashew is the king of the nuts. Is there any argument with that?
Macadamia would like a word, but otherwise
fair enough.
I like a nice pistachio. Yeah. I'm eating them now.
But the thing
and
about
cashew. Cashews, they grow on the outside of cashew apples. You ever see a cashew? So it is an apple, and on the end, it looks like the apple is actually shitting out a cashew. And I believe the shell around the cashew nut is poisonous. And so they're very, very difficult to harvest, right? You have one apple creates one nut. So every time you're eating one of those fucking things, it's a privilege. It's a nut privilege.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that they robbed me of that privilege with my family. My family could have watched me eat those.
The microevolution that needed to take place inside the cashew for it to become edible for human consumption is just remarkable. And the fact that they are looking past that and excluding it from the top shelf of the Whitman sampler really is just beneath all candy companies, let alone the Whitman sampler.
Chaps, there's a little note in there. It says, due to supply chain issues, which we know everyone's been hit with.
Oh, no. We put that on the outside of the box. You can't get away with that on the end.
But Whitman's has that fucking that history with me that I know, like, by the way, avocados are about to become expensive, right? Load up on your avocados now because you're about to get fucked. If they said, due to supply chain issues, we don't have cashew clusters. We're only giving you one and we're replacing it with whatever, the chocolate nut caramel or anything. I would have been like, damn supply chain issues. That's not Whitman's fault. That's supply chain's fault. This, I paid for something that they did not give me. They fucked me. I won't say anything more about it. I apologize, guys. Thank you for this platform. Balls in your court, Mr. Whitman.
You got fucked on Valentine's Day. That's a win. Not everyone can, you know, say
that's
the same
title
things.
Of the blog. I'm writing it right now. I just got fucked hard on Valentine's
Day. Oh, Jesus Christ. All right. So speaking of Jesus Christ, we have a story to get into. However, before we get into that, we're going to say it is sponsored by Solo Stove. Solo Stove is sponsoring the stories portion of the podcast today. Now, Large, you're a Whitman's guy. You're also a Solo Stove guy. And I'm going to say, I feel like Solo Stove has a much warmer place in your heart right now.
I'm going to sit this one out.
They've never fucked me the way that they fucked Chaps. Like the way that this thing has, what they promise and what they deliver, very rarely do they deliver something. They actually under-promise on this. Easy to use. It lights up like a tinderbox. It burns cleaner than anything. These are portable stoves, these Solo Stoves. It burns cleaner than any of these chimeneas, fire pits, cauldrons, all this shit that we've all had. We've all had them in our yards. This thing is legit as balls. It's cool to the touch on the outside.
Yeah, but it rusts as soon as you use it.
No, it does not.
So
it is
fast,
100% rust proof, you would think. And what is one of the other points that you think is bad about it, Chaps?
I don't want it to be hot to the touch.
Like, it's not hot to the touch. Burn. It's space age technology. Oh. And you may think, well, it's probably difficult to carry around. No.
Yeah, where are you even going to store it?
It's easy. You store. They give you a bag. It's got like that cinch storage. It's an attractive bag. It looks great on the on the shelf in the garage.
But I still don't want to go out there and get all that smoke on my clothes. So no, thank you.
It burns nearly smoke free. It's an unbelievable fire pit experience. I can't think of anything bad. I've had my kids use it. My kids are fucking morons. So if you want to get one of these solo stoves that's made with premium grade 304 stainless steel, not the 303 you get on the other ones.
That's the bullshit.
It's 304 and a 360 degree airflow system. Most
probably
people
was going to use 303 supply chain issues.
Right. So you shop now, get 30% off fire pits all month long. 30% off fire pits.
That's a big one.
That's a
big
Christmas
one.
Deal. Use the promo code PODFATHERS at checkout. You'll get an extra $10 off on top of that, plus a lifetime warranty, plus free 30-day returns. Just go to solostove.com, solostove.com.
Blow jibber. My God.
Yeah, only a nice little windy and a five-knuckle shovel. And remember, you get $10 off and use promo code PODFATHERS. When you go on there, they already have a percentage off on the website all month long. And on top of that, you're going to get 10% off just because you listen to this podcast. Solostove.com, promo code PODFATHERS. And they're the Whitman sampler of fire pits.
The good women sampler, not the ones that were
pre-Valentine's Day. Yes.
Pre-Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Like we said, we got that little 50-degree run here and it got the fucking feelings of spring in you. By the time you get your solo stove, you order it now, you get it in, you try it out, lifetime warranty, and then free 30-day returns if you don't like it. But it's so nice to have things go to spring where it's not hot yet, so you can kind of get the family around the fire, not too smoky. Absolutely perfect. You know who said that? Mr. Perfect said it, and he's a fucking I miss Mr. Perfect so much.
Paul Orndorff
so much. No, it's Mr. Wonderful, Arch.
Oh, geez, Kurt Hennig. Kurt Hennig, that's right.
Yeah. You're the one who told me that he saved Wade Boggs' life, which is a very underrated fact. He right. almost bled out on a hunting trip, and Mr. Perfect carried him to the hospital, right. which is like out of his little vignettes. That was such
that's
a,
right. Like, we did that. And then Bam Bam Bigelow, when he saved the kids in that fucking fire.
Yep.
That was some fascinating shit. I used to have a Mr. Wonderful. Remember those solid rubber dolls they used to sell the wrestlers?
Oh,
solid.
Yeah.
They were heavy duty rubber. And I had Orndorff. I didn't have Hennig.
Nick has like a million of them behind his camera in his office right now.
Yeah. So those,
do you have them in?
Those are from the now those are the Hasbros I have, chaps. What Large is referring to is the LJN collection.
I got a bunch of them, Nick.
Of course.
They're right beautiful.
Up. Yeah.
How do we feel about the little homies collection? They used to come in like the vending machine.
The little homies. That's right. Used to get them. They had nothing to them, right? They were like fucking the micro ones.
Yeah.
But these ones, I'm telling you, if you would have like hit somebody with the Andre the Giant one, it was Andre the Giant with kind of like the fro on it. His head alone was 2 or 3 pounds. These were fucking substantial.
There was a lot of bruises given by those things. Cause like if you fought your brother or something with them, and they just packed a wallop, those things back in the day. I have the Hulk Hogan one. I think those are the Hasbros. Are those the Hasbros, Nick? Like the, you know, mid early 90s wrestling figures.
Yeah, those are the Hasbros. You probably have series one. The guy when he has his hands out like this.
That's exactly. Yeah, I got all 10 fingers intact, which is very hard to find. Found it on eBay for $15.
Yeah, I'm currently missing 11 Hasbros to complete my collection, but it would cost me roughly $12,000 to finish. So TBD.
TBD. So listen, subscribe to the Barstool Grown Up YouTube channel so that Nick can get a nice bonus when we hit our numbers here. We got
little homies.
No, these are the old WWF guys.
Yeah, that's
Clem gave me this.
89. Oh, wow. 89. That was
what did he give you that for? I've never gotten a gift from Clem. What the hell, Clem?
It was after you ditched the podcast, and I said, Lars, thanks for picking up Chaps of Slack after he ditched us. So it was like, it was kind of, you were the reason for the gift, I guess. So.
That makes sense.
Remember we were sitting around a solo stove?
Yeah, it was awesome. We were smoking stogies.
Son of a bitch.
All right, with that transition, I have to go back to my Jesus Christ line. Catholic priest has resigned after a church investigation found he performed invalid baptisms for most of his more than 20-year career down in Phoenix. He would say during the baptisms, "We baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit." But he explained the words "we baptize" should have been "I baptize" instead. Big mistake here, Chapsy. Did you know that that was the way it should go? Do you know that there's one way that's right, one way that's wrong, and it could invalidate the whole process?
Well, the Catholic Church relies much more on liturgy and the use of traditions and creeds than like Protestant churches would. So mm-hmm. I would imagine that the wording there is incredibly important, but I can't believe that the big man upstairs would actually give a shit about it. Like, you would think it's the thought that counts. It's not going to be like the dotting the T's and crossing the I's and all that. You know, I feel like they're being a little hard on this fella.
No. Yeah. I'm going the other way, chaps.
Oh, you got to
There are rules. So if any kid was baptized by this guy, and if any of those children have died since, they're not in heaven. Damn. Just the way that it goes. I apologize.
That's fucking brutal.
I know it's brutal. That's why it's such a bad crime. I think this guy should really be absolute to the full extent of the law. This guy should be prosecuted.
What's worse, this fella
or the witness?
Children to their eternal damnation, or the supply chain issues that's causing a shortage in the turtles and the witness sandler?
It's Sophie's choice for me. Okay. And by the way, this guy cannot make it better, right? He can't. Well, I guess he could. He could just rebaptize the kids. So it's
But make him go in the same type. Make all the kids go in like their christening dresses, where they. It's huge. Even if you're like 25 years old, you got to go in the big fucking skirt thing.
Yeah. All together too, like one of those Southern Baptist things where they get them all in a river. That'd be awesome.
Now, my question but I feel bad. Do they have to then redo communion? Redo confirmation? Because technically you did it unbaptized, and that feels like you're just taking shortcuts. You know, it's not like Mario Kart where you just jump through the little island cave or whatever. This seems like it's a real problem.
Yeah, they have to redo them all. I think it's a,
you don't
it's
think
a
the
real...
Pope could come out and wave a little wand?
Harry Potter. Rules are rules. Rules are rules. Rule is broken. Kids aren't getting
into
heaven.
Yeah, but the Pope is saying that the gays can do it now.
Yeah. All right. So if any of these kids are gay, they're fine. Everybody else has to go through it. I don't
it's
make the rules.
It's always been tough to be a straight kid in the Catholic
Church. God makes the rules. And it's been tough to be a straight kid. Really. It really has. So
these kids have to go back to CCD as full grown adults. And then it's kind of like college where they're the full grown adults hanging out with the college kids, except the kids are now like, 9 years old instead.
They're going to be like the Catholic Drew Barrymore, never been kissed.
And then, what do you do for the kids that have unfortunately passed since the baptism? Like, can you get them out of hell? Is there a get out of hell free card? Because
you got to rely on the Mormons for that.
Shit. Yeah, that's a real problem. Imagine you think you're going to the pearly gates, and then it's a jet fuel fire hell, and it's because some guy just didn't read the fine print on the thing.
Oh man, it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. But it happened.
Wasn't there like something that happened with one of the presidents getting inaugurated, and they messed up the oath of office, and they were like, "We're not sure if it's going to count or not."
James K. Polk, he never was president. Take him off the fucking list.
Easy. Back to 45.
I saw this story as just a quick little thing, and I wanted to get your guys' take on it. So the Bluey House, and this is a Bluey household. The Casa de Clem is a big Bluey household. You guys, your kids are older, so I don't think, did Cardi ever get into Bluey?
I don't know what Bluey is.
Neither do I.
I know Large doesn't. Bluey is the glue that holds together anyone that has young kids these days. It is a show. It's on Disney Plus. It's actually an Australian show. It's four little dogs. And it's just an absolute delight. We had a reader who told me about it, I think last year, maybe 2 years ago at this point. And it's quick little 6-minute episodes, but it's something that adults and kids can watch. And the kids, most importantly, will just sit down and just shut up and watch it for, an hour straight if you need it. The house is available to visit. It's one of those Airbnb things, which I feel like everyone's starting to do now. $20 Australian to visit. I actually started looking up flights to Australia, which, let me tell you, I wouldn't be able to afford as is, but nonetheless, it's $20 Australian to visit the house. However, you have to be an Australian resident, probably because they don't want us unclean Americans coming into their country right now. Had to ask this question to you guys, because this is probably number one on my list right now. Which TV house would you want to visit if you had a choice?
Can we do a movie too?
I'll include movies too.
Okay. Easy for me. The house from Richie Rich.
That's a good fucking answer, right? Because
we could all go and have an air land and sea, and then go out on the fucking roller coaster. We had a great time.
That's a good answer, Chapsy. I thought you were gonna say Home Alone, which was you could visit that during. I think it was Christmas Eve, but you had to stay with Buzz. Buzz was like the guest of honor.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
House. Yeah. What about you, large man?
I'm so old.
Don't say
I'm
MASH. Sold. Don't I'm say sold. MASH or the ad or the.
It's the Addams Family. It's the Addams Family. I whenever
you
I was
have a
kid,
great time there, yeah.
Yeah, whenever I was a kid, I used to look in the background. I would be fascinated, and it was like a friendly haunted house. I like haunted houses. I go to them every now and again. The Addams, and then even in the later editions, iterations, movies, and all that stuff, the house was always the centerpiece of those movies, and it's always fascinated me. And then I went through a goth period for a while, put my hair in my mouth, a little guy liner, but Addams Family number one with a bullet. No question.
I would also really, really love going to Michael Jackson's Neverland Ranch.
Yeah,
I feel like it'd just be very nice. It's fancy.
Actually, you know what another great answer would be, you fuckers wouldn't appreciate it, is the Encanto House, which is alive and is fascinating. It would be incredible to visit. It's basically the Addams Family, but not for like dead people.
Loud with all those animals running around and the fucking tiles clicking clacking all over the place. No thanks.
The people fucking Addams Family House will eat you alive, Lars.
You tell me you want to live in a house that people are singing all the time? Singing everything they say, just fucking say it, dude.
What about the apartment?
Up some cows?
The apartment from Perfect Strangers.
Oh yeah, hang out with Balcones. Yeah, hang out
with Balcones.
Love that.
Those two blonde broads stop by.
All right, fair enough. I was hoping Large wasn't going to skew so old. I mean, I guess the Addams Family could say the movies too. The movies, I feel like the house is the same kind of vibe, right? As from the TV
still
show.
Slaps.
Still slaps. Oh God, he said slaps. 2-year-old said slaps. The Whitman sampler guy. All right, we'll jump into some mailbag questions to wrap up today. You can submit barstoolsports.com/askdad or podfathershow@gmail.com, podfathershow on Instagram or Twitter. Hit up our boy Joey Langone. First one comes from Maddie Mo. Is kickball a top one, top three, top five, or top 10 childhood recess game? Chaps, give me your quick take.
I would say I would put it probably top 20. I don't think it's even top 10.
Wow.
Yeah.
I have it number
just straight
five.
Up kickball?
Yeah, straight up kickball.
No. Mm-mm. You got I think there's many more games. That's kickball is a game for kids that lack ingenuity.
All right, so we're going to workshop this because this is obviously a very broad question and we're going to all have typical opinions. Give me a recess game that is better than kickball. And we'll see where it slots in. I'll start off buns up. The one where you throw the ball off the wall ball, whatever it may be. I don't know. If it touches you, you have to run to the wall before the other guy throws it. I'm throwing that definitely above kickball. Large.
Jackpot.
All right. What's jackpot?
Where you have, it's basically a Hail Mary drill where you have somebody that throws it and you'll have like 10 people sitting around in the end zone and the guy that throws it or girl throws it, you can be like, 500, and then if you catch it, you get 500 points, and you got to add up all your points to 5,000 points. And occasionally, if you want to really give it all you got, you throw jackpot, and if you catch the jackpot, you win, and then you're the next thrower.
Never heard that game in my entire life. Lord, did you ever hear of that?
Sounds fun, though, right?
Yeah, it sounds real good. Fun.
I think there's so many like local games, right? But I'd go probably Red Rover. I'm a Red Rover. I call Chaps over. You got to come through and break through the thing. I used to like Red Rover.
It's amazing
smear
the
word
injuries.
That we don't talk about anymore.
Smear, yes. cut that. That was one of me.
I mean, that was a great game, though, right?
100%.
All right.
King of the Mountain.
On the same ilk is Kill the Carrier. Kill the Carrier.
That's, yeah, same thing. Kill the Carriers. Near the beer.
We used to also do baseball football where you would play football but with a baseball, like in a glove, so you could really moss somebody that way. Like if you're throwing a baseball, you go up and just snag it out of the air. That was real fun.
What'd you guys think about spud?
Spud was when they bounce
the one
the
you
ball?
Put it underneath the chair.
I think it was, you'd say a number, like number five, and then whoever was number five, get it, say spud, and then you go S-P-U-D, and then you had to peg them. And if they caught it, you got a letter, and then whoever got like
any game
letter.
That you could peg your friend, I was in.
Yes, we'll put any game, well, kickball, you could peg your friend. That's how you get people out of kickball.
Yeah, but if you hit him in the head, then it doesn't count. I didn't like that.
Yeah, fair enough.
I feel
fair
like enough. If you hit him in the head, that should be automatic change outsides.
I will tell you right now, the worst was probably hopscotch. Remember hopscotch where I used to throw a thing on? And I would tell you one other thing.
Nail a double dutch.
Yep. I was an elite Simon Says player. I don't know if that means anything to you guys. Simon Says that was very, very good.
But kickball, I would put it out. I also really like tetherball. Tetherball is a great game.
Tetherball is an underrated game. It hits. All right, so I'll say top five. Chaps, I don't think he thinks it's even top 10. What do you think, Large? Give me an exact number.
I'm having a tough time coming up with many other games, so I'd put a top five. No, it's probably like maybe I'd push it down to six, but I can't think of too many that I have above it.
Okay. Next one comes from Wes. I got a question. This is either Podfathers or My Mom's Basement, so we'll throw it in the Podfathers here. Scott Lang, who's Ant-Man, is in the quantum realm for 5 years where he missed a blip. As a mother or father, which age jump would be the craziest? He says 12 to 17. Wife says 3 to 8. You guys have older kids. So you guys, which would you, I guess, I don't know if it's want to miss or which would be the craziest to miss in terms of a 5 year jump.
3 to 8 is pretty damn good. 4 to 9 probably, or 5 to 10, like somewhere in that range would be big, but also 13 to 18 is enormous.
Yeah, I would probably go older because Mick walked by me the other day and you know, he was wearing shoes and I wasn't. And for a second there, I thought he was taller than me. He's not, but like, you know, and just compared to that little boy, especially with him going away to college this year, that's not going to be good, man. I'll tell you right now, he's going to Bama this week just to check it out. He's doing like 3 or 4 days there. And I can tell you right now, prepare for the worst.
How's he getting down there? Is he flying? Because that's not an easy school to get to either. Like, does he have to go to Birmingham and then drive?
Yeah, I think he's Birmingham. Yeah, I believe he's flying into Birmingham. I wasn't familiar with the whatever the initials are for Birmingham Airport.
Yeah, BHM.
Yeah, so yeah, I can tell you that's going to be an emotional one. So I think that age, like say the difference between Mick when he was 12 and 17 is huge, like boy to man type stuff. I would want to miss 1 to 5. Those, you can keep those fucking things.
I still, 18 months is still about my favorite age to play with the baby, though. Like just to hang out for, if you have 20 minutes a baby and they're 1.5, you could be the coolest person in the world to that baby. Like 30 minutes.
It's true. I always tell that
the delivery room. As soon as in the delivery room is when I would blip. Hey, everybody, yeah. Happy, healthy.
It's the boy.
Fingers, 10 fingers, 11 toes. That's interesting.
Yep.
I can only imagine like what you guys are talking about too in terms of the 12 to 17, because again, I was in LA for like 60 hours basically. I came back and it seemed like AJ and Sienna were like 5 years older, just because I hadn't seen them in person. I saw them every day on like, you know, video screen, which by the way, AJ, I FaceTimed AJ at like probably 4 o'clock California time, so 7 o'clock New York time. His mind was so fucking blown. He goes, "Dad, show me outside again. How is it light there? How is it like right now?" And I'm like, I'm not even going to try to explain time zones to you because I don't really understand them all that much. And it was just, and then we watched the Super Bowl. I was like, AJ, look at it. It's still light out there, just like it was when Daddy was out there. But I couldn't imagine, like, again, you leave your kids for a couple of days, let alone a week, let alone a month or something. It's a complete game changer. So it sounds like the 12 to 17 is about the range for you guys, right?
Yeah. By the way, it sucks too. Like, as much as Chaps and I sometimes rub it in your face about having older kids, right? I mean, we do to a degree. Mm-hmm. It sucks that they're not small anymore. It really does. Like, Bridge did that thing with Erica last week. And like, Annie and I were going into the cities, did the token. And I was like, should we prep her? And Annie's like, no, she's fine. I was like, what do you mean she's fine? She's fucking 11, but she is. She's like, I really, like, I still buy her stuff for particularly my daughter. I still buy her stuff for like 5, 6 years old. Mm-hmm. I should say that Mick too and Finn too. Like, man, it fucking flies by. I wish I paid more attention, Chaps. I really do. It's like they're fucking adults now. I hate it.
Yeah, I don't. I'm ready for it to be over.
Are you?
Yeah, just get them all out of here.
Well, I guess that's what grandkids are about too, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, like you'll miss them after they leave, and then all of a sudden you'll get a fresh set of downs with grandkids.
Mm-hmm. You know, and then you can send those little fuckers home.
Yeah, exactly. The pass them back off. Mm-hmm. Someone said it to me, someone recently was like, the days go slow, but the years go fast. And that's, I could definitely see that starting as like Siena is now seven and I see it. I imagine you guys probably it's even more so the case now that they are older than they were.
I mean, watching kids grow is kind of like watching your grass grow. You just got to take care of it along the way.
Yeah. And like we've been talking about, spring is about to sprung. So you have to make sure you take care of your grass, make it look good. And that's why you got to get Sunday. Their custom plans include fertilizer and everything you need to easily care for your lawn. And with ingredients like seaweed, iron, and molasses, you can feel good with kids and pets being around. Contrary to popular belief, we are a pro kids podcast. We also just, you know, like to give you enough warning about them and definitely pro pets. We have the dog guy. We have the dog guy on the podcast with us, right? So all you have to do is visit GetSunday.com, put in your address and their lawn analysis tool does the rest. They then use soil and climate data to create a personal nutrient plan delivered to your door when you need it. I've gotten it the last couple of years and even an idiot like me can put it all on. And there was one part of the lawn that I forgot to do and you could just tell it just didn't look as good as the rest. So you got to get your GetSunday. Just attach the ready to use pouch to a garden hose and spray. It takes less than 15 minutes. Best of all, this stuff really works. Clem approved, wifey Clem approved. And Sunday is offering our listeners 20% off. Full season's plan start at just $129. And you can get 20% off at checkout when you visit getsunday.com/podfather20. That's 20% off your custom plan at getsunday.com/podfather20. So not podfathers, podfather singular 20. Again, I love it. I've used it multiple times. It's easy to do. I just throw a podcast in and I just kind of spray it all on the grass and it looks tremendous when it's all said and done. And it's much cheaper than a lot of the other alternatives people will do to try to make their yard look good. I have the biggest yard in the podcast. So trust me, I know how much work can be. Acre and a half of property here, not to flex or anything.
Whoa.
So keep that in the poor rankings in mind, Cass. Next one comes from Tony Deuce. This one was brought up on
Twitter. I like how Clem's bragging about. I don't think we were setting the pot.
I'm usually forced to work nights when it snows.
Clem, you went out there for a sec because you're on Motorola.
Yeah. Damn it. God damn it.
If you get stop, I think you're on your Cricket Mobile Wi-Fi. If you could change that.
I guarantee I also have the fastest internet too. It's not me. It's not me. It's the shitty computer old business Pete gave me like a decade ago.
You got a new knife.
Oh, wow.
You got a knife? Ooh. Nice. You guys have to go to the YouTube for that one. It's a nice purple blade and everything.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Clem. Your internet's back.
Did you guys hear the ad? That's the most important part. Yes, we got to keep the lights on. Okay, good. Tony Deuce. I'm usually forced to work nights when it snows for sanitation, which means I get home at 7 a.m. Is it frowned upon to fire up the snowblower at that time? All right, so snowblower etiquette. This one's gonna, I guess, go a little more to me and Large and Chapsy Boy. But say you hear the snowblower 7 a.m., you hear the snowblower 7 p.m., you hear the snowblower 10 p.m. Is that all right, or is it kind of like with like we just mentioned with mowing the grass?
I feel like it. I don't have snow issue. But I feel like it's dependent on your job. You got to do what you got to do for your job. Like if you have a job where you show up at 11 o'clock, then of course you're going to be doing it at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
There is none. There's snow blowing. You do it when if he feels bad about, and it seems like if he works with sanitation, you know, why don't he just run by his house with the plow? Right. He says he works late when he's plowing out of the streets. Like that'd be great. And particularly if you do have a snowblower and you kind of do your neighbor's walk too, then it all makes everything go away. Mm-hmm. You know? Oh, fuck. Is that guy waking me up? Oh, look, he did my thing.
Oh, yeah. You'll give him a suck if you don't have to do your yard. Somebody does it. Because some of these, I see it on TikTok. Some of these companies, they can clear out your driveway in like 15 seconds with their machines.
Right.
And your dumbass is out there with a plastic shovel sweating. Feeling hot as shit while it's 2 degrees outside? No thanks.
Throw a suck this way.
Yeah, I think the time thing. Mowing your lawn is different, but shoveling snow, you have to do it when the snow stops, right? Like sometimes it won't stop until early in the morning
before it gets wet and heavy.
Yeah, so I think all that stuff's out the window. He's good to go whenever he needs to.
Yeah, I think whenever I hear someone firing up their snowball. or at night or early in the morning, I'm not thinking, oh, this guy doesn't care about the neighbors. I'm thinking, sucks, this guy has to leave his driveway right now while we all just sit inside and fire up, you know, some breakfast in a few hours and just act like bums and complain on social media about the snow. No way. Like you cut it, like mowing your lawn at night or early in the morning, that's just a dickhead move. But like, no one wants to clear their driveway out. It's just a matter of when you have to leave.
Sorry, broke up again, Clem. What was that?
You fucking goddamn it. All right. That's enough. We're going to wrap up there. Always stay safe and stay safe.